We certainly appreciate you coming out and being with us today again. This is half the year is over, pretty much after this week, and certainly is passing us by very quickly once again. One of the things that you deal with from time to time, especially as parents, asking you to talk to a young person about becoming a Christian. There's so many different memories that I have regarding talking to people and then the people obeying the gospel. I've witnessed the where you would baptize a younger person, they might almost be under the water when they get in, just because they're small in stature. It might be you baptize people at the hospital. We've done that before. Baptize people at the nursing homes, done that before. So many times you have memories of people being baptized into Christ. As I think about this, I think about a story that Brother Grider told me years ago, a story I think I've told in Bible class before, about a little boy that was tagging along with him during the gospel meeting that he was holding down in his hometown in Tennessee. Little boy was 5 years old. After two or three nights of hearing sermons and a sermon on baptism the night before, the little boy was walking along with Brother Grider and said, "I believe I need to be baptized." And Brother Grider, he said, "Well, why in the world do you think you need to be baptized?" He said, "Because I've done a lot of meanness in my life." So, a lot of people have different ideas about that. Well, today we want to go a little further in this study and talk about the maturity for baptism. I guess this would be an age of accountability lesson many times in the past. But it's not about a number. That's what parents so much of the time want. What's the magic number? There is no magic number. It's not about a number. It's about maturity. And Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and in verse 9, he says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood." That Hebrew word there basically meaning from birth or thereafter up till about however long a child is a child. And then the writer of Ecclesiastes, in the latter part of this first part of this verse, says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood." That's the younger part of the child. "And let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood." Several scholars said that would add up to maybe 20 years old. "And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. And learning about God's will," he says, "so remove grief and anger from your heart. Remember also your Creator." The great, for anybody that studied sermons, the It's a great 3R sermon. Rejoice, remove, and remember. Well, when we talk about maturity, young children do not possess the maturity to determine good from evil. As Moses is having a second telling of the law to a new generation of Israelites, he says in his first sermon to them, he's going to have several sermons to them in Deuteronomy, but in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and in verse 39, Deuteronomy 1 verse 39, he says, moreover, your little ones who said would become a prey, and your sons who this day have no knowledge of good and evil shall enter there, and I will give them, and they shall possess it. They were not accountable like the other people were from age 20 on up that died in the wilderness. But these people age 20 and below were not accountable here at this time. In Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 7, and in verse 15 and 16, Isaiah 7, verse 15 and 16, you have one of the most quoted verses in Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14. We'll go ahead and read that for you. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. And that's usually where we leave off with that idea. We don't go much further than that. He will eat curds, verse 15, and honey. At the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. We also see in Ezekiel chapter 18, again a familiar passage to most of you. In chapter 18 and in verse 20, Ezekiel 18 and in verse 20, it says, the person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So the difficult question is, when does this happen? When does it start? We go to a familiar passage. Maybe many people in the Lord's church can quote this passage. In Acts 2 and in verse 38, 39, Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children, for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. I would try to figure out, especially with younger children, what to ask, what to talk to them about. then later in life, I figured out it's right before my eyes. Acts 2, verse 38, he says, repent. One of the things you need to understand is that you need to make a change. If you don't want to make a change in your life, you don't need to be baptized yet. But if you desire to make a change in your life and repent of your sins, then yes. Also, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ. That you say, I am going to put the Lord first and foremost in my life. Now, that's difficult for a young person to say. But still, at the same time, that's part of the covenant that we're making. That he's going to be first and foremost in my life. And then the third thing here is it's for forgiveness of sins. If you don't think you have any sins yet, if you're just coming up because Bobby and Billy came up and you just want to be baptized too because you think it's a good idea because they're getting attention, that's not the right way to look at this. It's for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, a lot of people say, we look at Jesus at maybe 12 there in the temple. And Luke, and in chapter 2 and in verse 40, Luke chapter 2 and in verse 40. Luke chapter 2 and in verse 40 it says, and the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You might underline that. The grace of God was upon him. In verse 42, it says, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. In verse 48 through 50, it says, and when they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? And they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. In verse 51, it says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Back to verse 40 that I said you might underline. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. But then you see something different in verse 52. And that is that Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature. He is in favor with God and men. The grace of God is upon him in verse 40. But it seems like here, somewhere around this age, that things have changed. That he's increasing in favor with God. The grace of God was upon him when he was a child, but now the grace of God, or he's increasing in favor with God. Well, maybe because of bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs, they think that maybe 13 is a magic number. I was trying to research this, and it seemed like bar mitzvahs started around the 13th century in France, to where a father exclaimed at that time that he didn't have to be responsible. He didn't have to be responsible for his son or daughter anymore when they reached the age of 13. That's what I found out about that. But for some, 13 seems to be, 12 or 13 seems to be a magic number for some. And one of the websites that has some articles, it says this seems to be the most common view at the age of accountability in the church today. Most agree somewhere between the ages of 11 to 13 is when it can be expected to see most young people seriously begin to consider their relationship with the Lord and seeking to take that relationship to the next level. When I study, and as I've studied as an older preacher now, one of the things you have to do is you have to be very honest with both sides of this argument. So I'll give you part of the other side of this argument this morning as well. And that is from the Old Testament. From the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 27, Leviticus chapter 27, Leviticus 27, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Speak the Lord," again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel. Say to them, when a man makes a difficult vow, he shall be valued according to your valuation of persons belonging to the Lord." He's making a vow. He has to put up some money. Does everybody pay the same? Is everybody dealt with the same? Well, we see here that's not the case. He says in verse 3, if your valuation is of a male from 20 to 60, then your valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel in the sanctuary. Or if it is a female, your valuation shall be 30 shekels. If it be from 5 to even 20 years old, maybe you want to give your child to the Lord. It says, then your valuation for a male shall be 20 shekels, and for a female, 10 shekels. If they are from a month old, even up to 5 years, your valuation shall be 5 shekels of silver for a male, and for a female, your valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And then for all of us over 60, it says, verse 7, if they are 60 years old and upward, if it's a male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels, and a female, 10 shekels. The only point I'm making is there was just something different about different age groups. They felt that the 20 to 60 year olds could be of the most benefit, and there it would be the most money. Those that were older, the money would be a lot less because they might not be able to do what a 20 or 30 or 40 year old was able to do. In Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 29 through 31, Numbers 14 and in verse 29 through 31, Numbers 14, verse 29. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you have not come into the land which I swore to settle to you, except Caleb and Joshua. Your children, however, whom you said would become prey, I will bring them in, and they will know the land, land which you have rejected. So again, the people over 20, they were accountable. They died. The people under 20 were not accountable at this time, because they lived. In Numbers chapter 1 and in verse 3. Numbers chapter 1 and in verse 3. It says, from 20 years old and upward, whoever is able to go to war in Israel, you and Aaron shall number them by armies. Also, to pay an atonement for your sins. In Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. And in verses 14 through 16. Everyone who is numbered from 20 years old and over shall give a contribution to the Lord. The rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less than a half a shekel. When you give the contribution to the Lord to make an atonement for yourselves, and you shall take the atonement money from the sons of Israel and give it to the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a memorial to the sons of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for yourself. All I'm doing is showing you Old Testament passages that shows different points in time to where the Israelites under 20 were not accountable for certain things. And this is one of them. Again, we've read it already. Your little ones, who this day have no knowledge of good and evil. So that's pretty much self-explanatory. We see even in the Chronicles, Josiah, King Josiah at age 8. age 16 and even age 20, meeting different responsibilities. So we're going to wind this up now. Age 12 or thereabouts. Maturity, not age, must be evaluated here. After 12, well, Jesus demonstrates the ability to put God first in his life. So that's a possibility as well. Age 20? I think by this point in time, most of the time, we're in some sort of a dangerous level here. I have grandchildren now, different ages. And I hope and pray that if they are baptized into Christ, that they don't wait until the age of 20. I don't know the age that people want a preacher to say, or an elder to say, or somebody that's devoted to them to say. All I know is that it depends upon the maturity of the person. So, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, we have many here at different levels. To watch for readiness, pray for wisdom. We can all remember when our children maybe had those questions for the first time. Maybe they couldn't sleep at night. But secondly, don't confuse curiosity or childish fears with conviction. A lot of people, when they have their children come to me or to us as elders, sometimes you can tell the kids have already been schooled on what to say. They're really not speaking from the heart. They're speaking from what mom and daddy sometimes thought the elders might ask as a question. So don't confuse curiosity or childish fears with conviction. And remember that becoming a Christian, like a marriage, is a commitment. It's a commitment. And we need to be very serious about that commitment. We'd encourage you, if you need to respond to the gospel in any way, to come right now while together we stand.